So this is part two, June 18th, Adhika Mas, class, verse number 39, Radha Rasa Nidhi. We're talking about aspirations, and these, in other words, we're always reading these type of shastras over and over and again. That's the whole idea of devotion or bhakti, is define your goal, then work towards it. For example, when you're in lower grades, you finally get to some point where the principal of the school, they meet with the parents and say, well, which area, field of study does your daughter or son want to major in or specialize in? They start channeling people in a particular direction. Oh, she's good in math. She should go into, you know, commerce or math or whatever, computer science. So they start, they declare what we call in the West, declaring a major, a focused area of study. So then they get in that program, and then pretty soon they go to an engineering college. They go to a medical college, they go to an architectural college, they go to whatever, particular school, school of veterinarian science, because a person wants to be a doctor of animals, you know, heal the sick animals, cows and buffalo and goats, etc. So then they specialize in like that. So that for a devotee, it's the same thing. Prayojan. Prayojan means my desired objective. There's sambandha, avideya, and prayojan. Prayojan means, I mean, the generic, just like the generic objective of every student is, what is your goal? To graduate. Oh, that's nice. You're in college, what is your goal? I want to graduate. Well, any degree? No, I'll just get out of here. No, but you have to have some degree. So then, obviously, so the same thing. You go to some devotee, what's your goal?
Go back to home, back to Godhead.
You know, it's like, you know, like these little Barbie dolls. You pull there's a ring in the back. You pull the ring, it's,
my name is Barbie, and I can be your friend, and I can play with you, and you can dress me, but don't kick me, and don't pull my legs off.
The kids, you know, the brother gets the sister's Barbie dolls and pulls out the arms and legs. Because, you know, men are a little wild. So, same thing. So, devotees, that's all right in the beginning. We should want emancipation because we're in Maya and we're suffering, and everyone knows it. But ultimately, when Guru and Krishna give their mercy, we become a little atmaram to some extent, some peaceful and settled and satisfied and pointed in the right direction. And we're walking on the path, the bhakti marg. We're making tangible progress inch by inch. And then we have to think, okay, it's okay to have the idea when I'm in grammar school. And I want to graduate from grammar. Someone says, you're in seventh grade. What's your goal? I want to graduate from this school, and then I want to go to high school. I don't know about what they call here. Then when I want to graduate from high school, and like someone might say, what do you want to do? I want to graduate from this grammar school. We call it grammar school. Maybe you call it primary school. And then I want to go to secondary school, and then I want to graduate. Then after that, what do you want to do? I want to go to college. I want to graduate. Oh, do you want a degree? Well, I'm not sure, but I have to think later. But I'm sure I'll pick out something later, but I'm only 10 years old. But ultimately my goal, so this person says, what is your ultimate goal of education? Well, it's to get a degree and get qualifications so I can work and live in this world. Okay, fine. So the same thing, you meet some Hare Krishna. So you're Hare Krishna, yes. So what is your goal? Go home, back home, back to Godhead. And then, is there anything more? Develop Krishna prayer. And any more? No, that's it. No, no. What more? So then the specifying. So everywhere there's hierarchy. Everywhere there's divisions. Everywhere there's specification. So this is when that time comes. And some people, it's not that everybody is in the same class. You meet somebody, oh, your cousin's in high school and the other one's in grammar school and then another cousin's in college. So people are in different levels of education. It's not all one. But at some point, books of this nature, which are all about the prayojan, when you establish and define your prayojan, like I really would, you know, if that situation, if and when it comes, and it will come, and every sincere devotee of Krishna, they will come to a point where they want to love this form of Krishna. Not like the generic pious religious Hindu, and it's good, don't misunderstand me. He loves all the gods. He serves all the gods. And that's good. That's very good. You can serve all women. All women are like your mother, but your wife is not. She's your wife. But you can have respect and serve all women like your mother and respect them. But there's one that's your wife, and that's a different bhava. So we respect all the gods, and we serve them, we honor their special days. That's fine. This is the Dharma of even human life. You see in the Brijvasis and Nanda Maharaj and Vishabhana, everybody, they were worshipping Surya Dev, they were worshipping Durga, they were worshipping Chandi, they were worshipping Narayan and Vishnu, but also Krishna. Ultimately, everybody's worshipping Krishna. Not that they neglected Shiva or Durga, they also did puja. They had deities in their palaces. That's not wrong. Otherwise, why is it going on with them? But everything has its... they knew everything, the essence of the whole thing. These are all parts and parcels and limbs of Krishna. They're assistants to Krishna. Like, the main person to worship is the prime minister, but he has so many mantris that work with him. He can't get his work done without the mantris. But he's the primal person. So if you take care of him, then you'll get your work done. So Krishna, he's the primal mantri, pradhan mantri. So then everyone knows that. So when your prayojana is clear, yes, I want to serve Krishna like, I want to be like a coward boy, just like that. I don't know where it's going to take me. It doesn't matter to me, but I love the coward boys. So then, aside from your, you know, whatever your basic sevas and orders from Guru are, then you start reading everything about coward boys. Just like if you decide you want to be an artist, a painter, then you're going to, if you really have a taste for it and really want to be a painter, then you're going to study about the great artists of India or the great masters of the world, great artists, and you're going to look at their works and study and read all kinds of books and go on the net because you're thirsty. You're thirsty. You have a Trishna, thirst to learn this knowledge and to gain this knowledge. You want to. And you know the difference between someone who likes going to school and someone who doesn't. Like sometimes you have a couple of children. Some children, they don't like to go to school. Like you. but some, they like it. Right? They really like to go. And they're just running out of the house in the morning. They have to wake up their mother. Wait, get up and make my breakfast. I'm out of here. I mean, it's rare. But I remember in my own life that there was a certain junction when I was going to school because they would beat me if I didn't. And then after a certain point, I thought, this is fun, I like it. I liked it. I actually liked it. So that Krishna consciousness, in the beginning it's so much duty, but then when we get a little bit situated, then we should be all right. So these type of books, it's not like once every 3 years on Purushottam or something, we study such books. They should be the daily food for our soul to cultivate these kind of desires. And it's so amazing, beautiful books. And they're all in English. And I think many of them are Russian also and Hindi and whatnot. So they're certainly available. But just like schools are everywhere, but not everybody enrolls. If you enroll and go to school, then you'll get some benefit. So if you have any interest. So this is the Radha's glances and the devastating effect on Krishna. And then it's the Manjari's prayer and aspiration for the Rasa Seva. This is Kada Rasena. When will I serve you at this time with so much Ras? So then the phrases are very nice. We discussed some of them, and I don't think there's not much time. I think class is over. No, what time? Is it 11:30? Oh, okay. I'll just go through a little bit because we want to take some questions also. So it's such a nice verse, and I didn't read the second translation. So one translation, to get our bearing where we are, is that when this is a Manjari praying, Sripad, Prabhupada Saraswati, and Manjari Bhav. So if someone's desiring or thinking to be Radharani's maidservant or handmaiden or like a sakhi, and then they'll think like this, and they would love to see this scene. You know, Radharani, you know, casting a sidelong glance at Krishna. How amazing it would be. There's so many rasas mixed in here. Gona ras, of course, the stairati, the major ras here is Madhurya ras. Madhurati. It's a Shringharati. It's the erotic love of a lover and beloved. They're meeting. It's called the Milan. This is the Nagar, Nagari, Milan, or whatever. They're meeting, but they're not meeting alone. It's like alone, because all the sakis all the Sakis, there's no other men, it's Krishna's alone, only Krishna. All the Sakis and Mandris, Radharani feels like she's alone because they're all, first of all, they're all her expansions. They're all his, her Nija Rupataya Kalabi. They're all expansions, Nija Rupataya Kalabi. They're all expansions of Radharani's Nija Rupam, her personal form, her personal bhav, and different aspects of her bhav, her Nayaka bhav, Abhisarika bhav, Utkantita bhav, and Vasajika bhav, and Kalahantarita bhav. There's so many different bhavas, eight major bhavas or bhavs of a heroine, Nayaka. We say heroine, Nayaka. She feels that I'm alone, although there's many Sakis with her. I'm meeting Krishna alone. And eventually, at least in these initial moments when she's actually alone with Krishna, even when she's alone with Krishna, then all the Sakis are gone. They go. But the Mantris can stay. Oh, she's my little sister. What does she know? Just like, you know, you can imagine if there's some, because Radharani's just saying, they're just my little sisters. They don't know anything. Like your five-year-old sister is there in the room, and she's watching TV, and you're with your girlfriend or something and not watching TV, then maybe your five-year-old sister won't know really what's going on so much or whatever. So the mantras, in other words, they don't cause any disturbance to Radha and Krishna. They're actually serving them. So he's praying, when can I be there as a mantri? And I'm watching this and I'm seeing this amazing, this Madhurya Rati is here. That's the Mukhya, the Stai Rati. Then there's Gona, there's secondary rasas, like amazement. This is amazing. It's called Adbhuta, amazing ras. That Bhagavan is falling to pieces with a sidelong glance of my Swamini, of my Ishwari, my queen. I'm working for her. I'm serving her. She's my everything. My man, pran, dan. Man, pran, dan is Radharani. She's my Ishwari. So then they're all there. They're all on it's Radharani's team, and there's Krishna alone. He's highly outnumbered. I mean, only takes one, Radharani, that's all. And he's finished. But so the Mantris they're feeling pride, they're feeling garba, they're proud. Oh, look at Radharani. Just like if you're the charioteer and your bowman knocks off all the enemy, then you say, hey, my guy's good, you know. You know, he's a good archer. So then the Mantris are very proud of Radharani's expertise in archery. Her sidelong glance, the kataksha shara of her glance made Krishna vimorchita. Vimorchita, extremely destroyed, totally fainted. He, in modern vernacular, he lost it completely. He lost his, you know, crown, his mantan dan. He lost everything. He lost his mind. He became morcha, and he lost his dan. What is his dan? Dan means his wealth. What is Krishna's greatest wealth? Vamshidari, Krishna Murari. Toma bina dukahari. Vamshi dari Krishna Murari. His wealth is his vamshi. Vamshi dara. Dara means to hold. Haladar, hold the club. Hold the plow. Right? Dara. Krishna Murari. That's his wealth. With that wealth, wealth means the power to control. Who controls India? The politicians or the businessmen? The businessmen. Because they control the politicians. They pay them, and you know, I'll get you elected, but you have to do this favor and that favor. You have to redirect the Yamuna. Yamuna has to come down from the Himalayas, and has to come through Haryana, and has to go to my factory, then take all my waste products. There's a very big company that's doing that. So there's no Yamuna comes to Vrindavan, because that big company has so much money to control the government. It goes on. Everywhere, not only here. So the power to control. So Krishna's flute has the power to control. The cow is moved by the flute. The gopis move by every go. Go means go, go, go. Go means move. So wherever you find the word go, that's where Krishna's control is with the flute. Gopis, Krishna controls them with his flute. Go, cows, Krishna controls the cows with his flute. Gopas, Krishna controls the gwals and gopas with his flute. What's left? Go means indriya. Go, the word go means indriya. Indriya means senses. So do birds have indriya? Yes. Do the deer have indriya? Yes. Do the fish have indriya? Indriya means eyes, nose, ears, indriya. So the word go means indriya. So Krishna plays his flute and he controls any living entity that has eyes. But also, or nose, or anything. Fish have eyes. Maybe they have nose, maybe. I don't know. I never saw. But then, even non-moving living entities are controlled. The trees move, the rocks melt, the river goes backward. Ultimately, everything's personal. So Krishna is the supreme person, and he's controlling every other personal entity. Every entity, every atma is personal. Chit. Chit means personal. Chit. Chit, chitkana, chit shakti. Chit means consciousness. So consciousness is individual and is ultimately personal. So therefore, rocks are also personal. Giriraj looks like a rock, but he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Shalagram looks like a rock, but it's Vishnu and Damodar and Krishna and Vishnu and Nisringa, supreme personality. But externally you think, because there's chit, there's supreme chit there. Bhagavan. Satchitananda. So this is Krishna's position here. So now this arrow-like glances, Krishna's flute song acts like an arrow, which totally paralyzes hundreds of doe-eyed gopis. Radharani's arrows are her glances, and Krishna's arrows are his flute song. Mansurigan. He plays his flute, and that flute becomes an arrow that pierces the hearts of the gopis, and they say, oh, Shyam. And they forget everything. They become Vimorchita. So Krishna becomes Vimorchita from Radharani's glance, and the gopis become Morchita from Radharani's flute. But there's a difference. Radharani doesn't drop her lotus flower. She has a Leela Kamal. A Leela Kamal. Like Krishna has a flute in his hand, Vamshidhara, Radharani's Kamaldhara. She holds a Kamal means lotus flower in her left hand. It's called Leela. Leela Kamal means a pastime lotus. And she may be all Krishna's flute, but she doesn't drop. And her sari does not fall off. I'm sorry. And she doesn't fall on the ground or faint. She gets bewildered, but not that bewildered. Because she chants Hare Krishna. And then she doesn't succumb to bewilderment. So sometimes you get a little bewildered by Maya. If you seriously chant the holy name, then your dhoti won't fall off. So to speak. Krishna's flute song acts like an arrow which totally paralyzes hundreds of doe-eyed gopis. But just see the power of Radharani. Just one glance, not even a full glance, not like, hi, just like, just there. That's all it takes. If that's all it takes with Bhagavan, what to speak of all the Bhagavan? What to speak of all these men of this world, Bhagavan? Bhagavanis. It's like half a corner of a glance. Don't even glance. You don't have to glance even. Just walk down the road and they'll go crazy. So this is the situation here. Just one glance, Radharani makes the same flute. That same flute, Krishna played the flute, and millions of gopis become paralyzed. They drop their jarus, they drop their babies on the floor, they drop their cooking. They're serving their husbands. Like, you know, in Indian style, the husband sits there and the wife's, they're serving rotis, and as soon as they hear the flute, that Murali at night, they say, huh? They just drop the rotis on the floor, and excuse me, and then they go out. And he's too busy eating to care about where she's going. So he just keeps eating, and she runs out the back. She runs out the The gopi runs out the back door to join Krishna. Once someone asked me they said, how do you give a good class? And I said, well, it should be more philosophy, but personally, my classes, there's three E's. The three E's, you know, this is called E. Capital E. Educate, enlighten, and entertain. So sometimes it's a little lopsided. One goes higher than the other. You know, the more entertainment, less enlightenment. Oh, yeah. I like Russians. They never love. They're very sober. Probably doesn't understand what I'm saying. Anyways, okay. Just be here. It'll be good for you. Just coming here, Radharani will bless you. I guarantee. Just one glance, not just side, not full. Radharani makes that same flute fall from Krishna's hand like a war hero hit by an arrow. He will faint and drop his bow and arrows, while his crown falls off and his clothes become disarranged. Similarly, when that transcendental youthful Cupid hero of Vrindavan, Kandarpa Mahavir, that transcendental youthful Cupid hero of Vrindavan gets hit by Radhika's arrow-like glance, what happens? His flute drops to the ground. Boom. His peacock feather, more mukut, which we heard yesterday, they just made a beautiful mukut chandrakena. Mukut Navachandrakena. They just offered a new one, now Radharani glances and knocks it off his head. And it falls on the ground. It slips, and his Pitambara Dhoti falls off. How amazing! Sham celebrated peacock feather. That's what it says here. It's really nice. In Sanskrit says, Skalitam Shikandam. Shikandam, Shika, you know, like Shika? Shika means top, or up there, like Shika. His peacock feather, skalitam. Skalitam almost sounds like the word slip. Skalitam. Skalitam shikandam. His peacock feather slips off his head. And that's his symbol, that he's Bhagavan. Krishna and Vrindavan. Everywhere they see paintings or some idea you want to represent Krishna, they'll show a flute and a peacock feather. Right? They'll show 2 feet like this. There's some drawing, there'll be two lotus feet like this with some pile on them. Pile is like these bells, these golden thing that goes on your foot, lady's foot. Pile. And some anklets. And then on the top of the feet will be a flute and a peacock feather. The flute and peacock feather is Krishna. And those 2 feet are Radharani, Radhikacharan. And Krishna is Atma Samarpan. He's totally surrendered to Radharani. And that drawing, which you see on people's stationery, you see it in invitations to weddings, you see it I've ever seen. It's a very common thing. I've seen it so many times. And this little drawing, you see? And then the peacock feather. Or sometimes it shows a peacock feather and a flute. And that means that Krishna offered it in submission to Radharani, to beg her to give up her man, her unfavorable, contrary, against Krishna mood. Shiki Pincha, like a victory flag on the head of the Prince of Braj. What is this? What is this skalitam? This shikandam. Shikandam, just like we say shikara. Shikara is the dome of the temple. It's the topmost thing. The top, that's the crown. You finally make the temple, then the dome, that's the glory, then the chakra on the top. Purify all directions with the chakra and to proclaim the chakra, the shikara, and the chakra on the top of the Vishnu Krishna temple proclaims Bhagavan's sovereignty over all directions. Over all directions. Look, I'm in charge here. Chakradhara. Chakradhari Krishna. This is shikara. So shikara means the crown. So this is symbolic. It's symbolic and it means something. So this Shikandam, now that celebrated peacock feather is Shiki Pincha. It's like a victory flag on the head of the Prince of Braj, the unique hallmark of Braj Leela, that enchants all the Mrigakshi gopis of Vrindavan. Means we Mrigakshi becomes in English doe-eyed gopis. Mriga means gopi in Sanskrit. You say harin. Harin? I mean, Mriga means deer. Harin. Say harin?
Hiran.
Hiran. Hiran means, but they say like this, Mrigakshi. Now it's rolling in the dust of Braj, and his pitavasa, his pitambara, his yellow dhoti, which looks most beautiful like a lightning bolt within a rain cloud. That yellow dhoti of Krishna steals the pride of the darling damsels of Braj, is now fallen from his waist from one powerful sidelong glance. Because this is an ecstasy that's called motayata. And motayata is a type of anubhav. 33, bhavs. Motayata. Motayata, due to ecstasy or intense emotional disturbance within one's mind or heart, one's body kind of shrinks. He kind of becomes withdrawn. Sometimes we say people, they look drawn or they shrink. They actually, their body actually, and sometimes even people stop eating. They feel so emotionally depressed or emotionally heartily crushed or emotionally depressed for whatever reason. I mean, some problem. They stop eating or literally the body shrinks. So this is what is being discussed here, that because of that, this is an ecstatic, due to an symptom of ecstasy, that the body becomes thin. Like sometimes you hear the bangles of the gopis, ordinarily they stay, and you have to really squeeze your hand to make them get on your wrist. But when they're feeling this kind of ecstasy and prema, and also Krishna, then their hand, without even folding their fingers, their bangle just slides off. Or sometimes you hear their saris are slipping from their nitamba, their hips. So here, that's happening to Krishna. That's how his dhoti fell off. It's not that it doesn't usually happen. You know, Krishna wrestles all the time with his boyfriends and he runs behind the cows and he's not like picking up his dhoti all the time like some kid wearing his brother's pants or something. You know, oversized, wrong size pants in the village or something. No, it's always there. So why now? Why now is Krishna's pitambara? Has it fallen? It's because of this. It's pitavasanam, brajaraja suno. He's a brajaraja suno. Brajaraja suno, pitavasanam, brajaraja suno. He's a brashtam. Have you ever heard of yoga brashtam? It's in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It says, suchinam shimatam gehe yoga brashta vijayate. There's a verse that says, yoga brashta. Says if you're brushed means broken, fallen, brushed. You say nashed or nashed or whatever. Nashed means. I think brushed and nashed may be similar. I'm not sure. Anyway, brushed means you've fallen from your yoga or your spiritual practices, a fallen yogi or a fallen spiritualist. So then Krishna says, what is the fate of someone who takes up spiritual life and doesn't complete it in this life? Suchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brushta vijayate. Yoga brashta vijayate, even though he's broken his yoga, he's broken his practices of gyan, yoga, karma yoga, or bhakti yoga, or fallen for some reason, still, yoga brashta vijayate, he's still victorious, he's still successful. He doesn't become animal, he doesn't become degraded on the evolutionary scale of bodies. And next life is suchinam shrimatam gehe. He's born in a wealthy family. Depending on how long he's practiced yoga, he's born in his spiritual discipline. He's born in a wealthy family, Srimatam, Suchinam. He's born in a pure family. Pure family means the devotee family, or Brahman, or at least pure-hearted, pure-minded and pure-behaved family of Vaishnavas, or just, let's say, Hindus in general. So there's a reward and promotion for someone, anyone who takes up serious practice of Gyan Yoga or Bhakti Yoga and doesn't make it. So this word is brashta. So here it says, brashtam pitavasam. Brashtam Pitavasam means his Pitavasam. Vasa means your, Vasan means your cloth. Vasan, that's one of the 11 symptoms of Sarup, that's your Vasan. It means you're covering your cloth. It's almost like Vas, but it's Vasan. It's a cloth, the covering. So his Pita, his yellow, we say Pitambara. Ambara means surrounding or covering. So his Pitavasam, Brashtam, it fell. A yoga brush, you fall from your yoga. So his Pitavasam. And who it says Brashtam Pitavasam. Well, who's Brashtam Pitavasam? Whose yellow dhoti fell off? You know, maybe it's just some kid or some, you know, little kid and doesn't know how to tie his dhoti right. So no, it's not anybody. It's Graja Raja Suno. Like someone goes, some gopis come and say, you know, one of the coward boys, he lost his dhoti today. It fell off. Oh, who is that? Is it Sri Dham Subha? Who was it? No. It was the king's son. The king's son? Well, is that, you know, an ordinary person loses a dhoti. It's not a big thing. But if the king's son loses his dhoti, that's not too good. You may get in the front pages of the Times of India. If there is such a paper, I don't even know if it exists anymore. I'm so out of the time. So it's like this. It's Braja Raja Suno. Suno means the son of the king of Braj. What a terrible state he's in. That dhoti, that Pitambaravasa steals the pride of the darling damsels of Braj, now falls from Krishna's waist from one powerful glance of Radharani. And then Vimorchitasya says, Katakshara Gata Vimorchitasya. And how did all, how, you might say, well, some people say, you know, this happened and that happened, this happened. Oh, how did it happen? This car went this way, this car smashed into that car. What's your, you were there? Yeah, I saw it. How'd it happen? Well, you know, this guy was going to leave us like that. So what, who, what, when, where, and why? So who? Braja Suno. Braja Raja Suno. What? Hare. He fell, you know, his dhoti fell off, his crown fell off, his flute. Watch out, how'd that happen? He stumbled or something? He dances pretty good, must walk good. How does he stumbled and tripped and he dropped his crown and flute? I mean, I never heard of such a thing. No, do you know, you, everyone knows that. He's Nataraj. He's the greatest of all dancers. He makes Shiva look like he's doing the waltz. No, and when he does his whatever, you know, that dance. So, this is, they said, no, you know, whose fault? What happened? Did somebody push him? Or, you know, Marumanga, you know, Sri, and those boys are acting so rough. Maybe some boy pushed him from behind and he tripped. They were running and somebody pushed him and he dropped his flute and felt, no, that happens all the time. He doesn't drop his flute. They're always pushing and shoving, wrestling. No, how'd it happen? Tell me. You could never guess. You could never guess how it happened. No, I really want to know. You really want to know? Yasya Katakshara. Yasya Katakshara. Radharani Katakshara. Radharani Katakshara. Gatta Vimurchitasya. Radharani is the Karana Karanam. She's the Sarva Karanam. She is the cause of all. She's the cause of the cause of all causes. Radharani is the cause of the cause of all causes. Parameshri Radharani ki jai. Vrindavaneshri Radharani ki jai. Jai jai Shri Radhe. Shama shama ki jai. Really? Yes. Just kataksha. Kata aksha shara. Gata. Just from the corner of Radharani's eye, just that arrow. That was a little arrow. There's little arrows and long arrows. Short arrows for close distance. Long arrows for long distance. So if Krishna's far away, then she looks straight. But if he's nearby, why do I waste a whole arrow? It's a short one. That's just economical, though. So she just used a kataksha, a corner glance, and that's it. He's finished. We could say, okay, just, you could have said like this, but when everything is, because when you use adverbs, he's poor. He's very poor. He's garib. Oh, he's garib. When you say he's ati garib. Oh, that means he's really, really poor. Oh, that's really poor. You say poor, okay, I'm also poor. So this is called adverb. Really, it means adverb. It's a modifier to the adjective. So we could say, and everything's important, could say murchita. Krishna got, this Radharani Katakshashara Gatta, that the arrow of her glance, corner of her glance, Shara, Gatta, it struck the target. And he fainted. Or he stumbled. Or he dropped, you know, this peacock feather. But it was total devastation. Absolute conquest. So it wasn't, and she could have said, Murchita, he fainted. But Vimurchita means he really fainted. Not only he fainted, but he rolled on the ground, and his peacock feather flew off, and his dhoti flew off, and he dropped his flute. Dropped his flute? Yeah, that too. He really got hit. Like somebody might fight, you know, in some battle, and they get shot in the arm, and oh, like that. But if somebody shoots them 50 times, all shot, he's finished. He's like, he's Vimarana. He's not like Marana. He's not like dead. He's completely dead. So this is called excessive. You understand? Vishesh, excessive. So he chose this word. So this, each word, because if one of the coward boys is writing about this, he wouldn't say Vimurchita. He said, okay, he dropped his flute, you know. See, one of Krishna's party was writing, just like, you know, the BJP newspaper writes a story like this, and the Congress paper writes a story like that. Everybody knows parties control the newspapers. So now if Krishna's boyfriend was writing about this, I heard one day that Krishna went out and Radharani, no, it's not like that. She looked at him and he just stumbled a second. He didn't drop his flute. Who's telling Peacock Feather? No, the gopis were saying. It's not like that. I was there. So as you know, every story has two sides, or three, or four, or as many sides as there are people. If there's one story and 100 witnesses, there's now 100 stories. There's one event and 100 witnesses. Now it became 100 events. It's amazing. There's only one event. Joe hit Bill on the head with his hand. Now 100 people saw it. And by the time it got to, you know, to the newspapers, Joe murdered Bill and Sam and George. You know, this is how it goes. So this is obviously maybe a prejudiced account. No, it's not. This is eyewitness accurate. The Mantri is there. Sripad and Mantri Surupi seeing this. Vimurchitasya, completely unconscious, fainted. Although Krishna is known as Nagarendra, Nagara means lover, this lover boy, you might say, or, you know, like a, you know, very attractive, handsome person, just bewilders every woman. So he's the Nagarendra. Indra means the king, the best of. And then the phrase that's used in Shastras, Nagarendra Mani. Nagarendra Mani means jewel. He's the jewel of all kings of romantic heroes. The jewel of all kings of romantic heroes. Although Krishna makes hundreds of Braja Sundaris faint with his glances. With just a single sidelong glance of Radharani, Krishna faints. This is an example in Prem. There's 8 transformations called Astasattvic Bhav. There's Sattvic Bhavs and Vibhavs and Anubhavs. Then the Sanchari Bhavs, then the Sthayi Bhav. And all together these produce Ras. When you mix all these Bhavas together, it makes Ras. Bhakti Ras, Prema Ras. Madhura Ras or Vatsalya Ras, all these different aspects. So this, in Ashtasattvic Bhavs, there's perspiring, there's crying, there's hair standing up. Romancha Kampa Sutaranga Bhajo Vandegoro Sri Charanaravind Romancha Kampa Ashu. We see these are the symptoms of the advanced devotees when they're absorbed in Nam Kirtan. Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nita Gita Vaditra Madhyan Manasorasena. How, when can you relish rus? And you're a Manasorasena. When can you relish rus? At the level of bhav. So a bhava bhakta or a premi bhakta or bhava bhakta, when he's engaged in Mahaprabhu Kirtan, everyone knows this song, Guru Vashtagam? Every morning we sing Samsara Davan, number two. Mahaprabhu Kirtan, he's engaged in Nam Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Gopala Govindaram Srimadusudan Giridhari Gopinatha Madan Mohan Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Keshigata Vamshivata Dwarashakanan Yahasavalila Koido Srinandandan Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya. So, Mahaprabhu Kirtana. Kirtana Gana. Mahaprabhu Kirtana Gana Nitya. He's chanting and dancing in Kirtan. And he experiences bhavas, sattvic bhav, because he has a stairati. So then what are those sattvic bhavas? This is the guru, the highest type of guru, the premi guru, bhava bhakta guru. And then romancha kampa sutaranga bhajo. He's tears, ashru, and trembling, and his hair standing in end. So these are some of the astic sattvic bhavas. And the last one, number eight, is murchita. It's called pralaya. It's called pralaya, which means devastation, it means fainting. So murchita. So Krishna, just by a sidelong glance of Radharani, he went from one to the top, from the bottom to the top of the scale. Because the bottom, first thing is maybe your hair stands on end, then you tremble, and then you cry, and then first symptom of sattvic bhava is hair stands on end. Then second thing is gadgada, your voice chokes up. Third thing is you tremble. Fourth thing is you cry. And there's this progression. So the fifth thing is you faint. So Krishna just, doesn't even say anything about it. He just, Radharani has hit the mark. She hit the top. Doesn't say that he went through the progression of the astasattvic bhavs. He didn't first get hit by the arrow and his hair stood on end and he trembled. It all happened simultaneously. And then right to the top. And then he just fainted. That's powerful. It's like some people walk up the stairs, like in New York, and then there's also, they call it jet elevator. I don't know about India, but they have a jet elevator. When you get inside, it goes very fast. Because, the buildings are tall, 80, 90 stories. So they have a jet elevator. It goes very fast. So rather, up the stairs, that. So Krishna's glance is like, Radharani's glance hit Krishna, like, went up the scale, zroop, and then fainted, murchita. So he became unconscious. He lost, and falling unconscious. Krishna is the embodiment of transcendental bliss. Rasavai Saha. Rasavai Saha Sakshat Ananda Sarup. That's nice. Sakshat Ananda Sarup. He's directly the personified form of unlimited bliss. Directly the personified form of unlimited bliss. Sakshat Ananda Sarup. But he has fainted, vimurchita, just from a glance. Krishna's famous as Achyuta, one who never falls. But now Achyuta Rani has made Achyuta fall on the Brajaraj. Just by a glance. Collapsed in the Brajaduli from the heavy weight of Radha's love arrow glances. Pari Paricharyami kada rasena. Paricharya means variety. Paricharya, the word paricharya, it's in Bhakti Roshamita Sindhu. Paricharya. Like we say, Prabhu, what is your seva? So paricharya means varieties of seva. And so the mantri is praying, when will I serve Radhika, full of ras? And then we can, just a little bit, we'll finish a little more. Because there's a little lila that's described in this publishing here. It says, seeing Shyam fainted from Radharani's glance, Srimati feels very upset. In various ways, Radhika tries to revive Krishna, but there's no success. In great desperation, Kishori appeals to her maidservants. She says, Manjaris, Kinkaris, look, Shyam, I can't, he's totally vimorchita, absolutely devastated, totally fainted, collapsed on the ground. I can't revive him. He's gone beyond the point of no return. She was desperate. She didn't want that to happen. I wanted him to become a little disturbed, but not, because you can't dance much if you're lying on the ground. Kind of the party's over now. So, in various ways, so then she appealed. She said, listen, oh, Manjaris, oh, Dasis, I can't remove Priyatam's swoon. Is fainting. Why don't you try? Now, that loving Manjari, and it could be you or I, that loving Manjari, it could be you or I, in our meditation, with great taste and great happiness, will begin to serve Radharani by trying to revive her Nagar Shyam. How will they do that? How will the Manjaris, because Krishna is unconscious, just like sometimes people, they get bitten by a snake, and they have these village doctors, and they know some mantras. The person's unconscious, and they chant some mantras. Sometimes they find, this happened in my, this, I know, I met a Gurukul, this is very, I've heard it many times, and I met one Gurukul student, Western guy, who was bitten by a cobra in Navadvip, and they took him to some, these village doctors, tantric type guys, and where the cobra fang marks in his body, the guy took with a razor and he cut a little bit, cut that. And the brahmachari was in Gurukul. He was unconscious from the cobra bite. And so then he started moving his hands over the person's body and chanting a bunch of mantras. Within about 5 minutes, the blood coming out of this, where he cut with a razor, the two teeth marks, it was bleeding a little bit. The blood was red, and then it became black in color. This is an eyewitness story. Became black in color. And then he chanted more mantras, and he went like this. And then the boy opened his eyes, and he was like, you know, what happened? So he was saved that way. He was unconscious on his way to dying from poison, from the venom or poison of the cobra. But that tantric took out, that poison came out in the black blood and those mantras. So now the Manjari, Krishna has not been bitten, but he's been hit by Radharani's arrow. He's been burnt. So now Radharani's desperate. Oh, Manjari, do something. And so then the Manjari, she will sing a sweet love song. In other words, mantra. She's using mantra. By mantras, the fainted boy that got bitten by the poison of the snake, by mantras, sound vibration, he was brought back to consciousness and to life. So by mantra or sound vibration gun, by this Manjari or the Sakhi gun, the song of the Sakhis, Manjaris, then, so what she did, and what song did she sing? She sang a very sweet love song that Swamini Radha previously taught her in a cave of Govardhan. There's some shlokas where the Goswamis and their Manjari Srupa, they're praying, when will Radharani take me to a gufa in Govardhan and teach me some of her favorite songs? There are prayers like that in Stavavali by Raghunath Das. When will Radharani take me by the hand and say, come, I want to teach you some song. And she'll take me to Govardhan to one cave. because you may be shy to sing out the other suckies. Oh, you don't know how to sing. So people until they know something, they like to learn privately, then show off in public. So you don't see anybody practicing harmonium in public. They'll just stay home and practice alone, hour after, 10 hours a day for 6 months. Where's so-and-so? I don't know. I haven't seen him. So they don't make his debut in the temple. Okay, now I got it. So they don't come out and show it what he's learned and study. So then Radharani teaches them, because whatever Radharani teachers and the Sakis teach the Mandris, they know it's for service. So Radharani, the Mandris said, why are you teaching me this song? Well, someday in the future, you'll use it in my service. So then now is the time. So somehow she sings that song, and Krishna wakes up, and then that Rasika Paricharika, Radharani's maidservant in the Mandri, she feels very blissful over her success in seva. The word in the verse is Rasena, tam radikam paricharami kada rasena. Rasena means serving the divine couple together. That's where the ras is. So after Shyam recovers from his fainting, Murjita, the divine couple engage in sweet loving exchanges. Afterwards, the Mandri maidservants render various tasteful rasena services, like fanning Radha Govinda Yugal and serving them flower garlands and water, fragrant scented water, like rose scented water or whatever, and tambal and betel nut. Suddenly, this beautiful lila and wonderful vision of amazing seva appears as a spurti and revelation within the heart of Sripad. It suddenly disappears. And then he humbly prays, Oh, my dearest Radhika, when can I worship you with my heart flooding with Madhura Ras? Radhikam Paricharayami Kada Rasena. So tomorrow we'll finish. There's one nice pada of Haripad Shila. We'll read that. And I'll just read the translation again. When can I tastefully or blissfully serve that Radhika whose arrow-like glances cause the prince of Braj to faint, Vimorchita, his yellow cloth to fall off, Brashtam Pitavasanam, Braja Rajasuno, his crown to loosen, this Skalitam Shikandam, and his flute to fall from his hand. That was the very first phrase. Kara means hand in Sanskrit. Venokaran Nipapatita, like Patita Pavan, we say Patita Pavan. You've heard this phrase, Patita Pavan. Pavan means purify. Patit means fallen. So it says Patita. Krishna's flute is Nipatita. It's completely fallen from his hand. There's one other translation. I like this other one. I didn't read this one too. Sri Radha. The flute drops from Shyam's hand. Shyam's crown slips crookedly, and his yellow cloth crumples haphazardly. The son of the king of Braj faints, struck by the arrows of Radhika's sidelong glance. Oh, when will I ever serve such a Radhika with full devotion and love? So that concludes this verse about the topic of this class is the Radha's, the power of Radhika's glance. So are there any questions? This is mostly relishing of Ras, but there are some points that relate, any philosophical points related to the class. Nice topics. Huh? Anything? Okay, well, let me just finish this small little prayer by this Haripad Shila. This is written in 1950. I told that yesterday, and he's summarizing very beautiful. Radhara katak sapate sata sata saragate murachita nagarindamani karachuta karaveno nahai jane nandasuno aparupa mohana chahani. So this is that Nagarendra Mani, the rare jewel of the best of romantic heroes. The rare jewel of the best of romantic heroes, Krishna. What I wrote here, I wrote there's four names of Shyam in this one verse. It is Nagarendramani, Achyuta, Nandasuno, and Mohan. Aparupa Mohana. It says Karayachuta Hayavenu Nahijani Nandasuno Aparupa Mohana Chahani. So Achyuta is here. A hero means one who is always victorious. He never falls in battle. He never loses. Achyuta means infallible. He never falls. Yet Radharani's glance makes Achyuta Krishna collapse on the ground, fainting in unconsciousness. These are facts. These are very secret topics. This is Rahasya Katha. Outside of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you'll never find such understanding of Krishna and Radha. These are very wonderful teachings. The jewel of lovers, Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda, faints when he's struck by hundreds of Radhas. He says, Shata Shata Saragati. Hundreds and hundreds of Radha's enchanting arrow-like glances, so he doesn't even know that his flute has slipped from his hand. Aro suna adabhuta, adabhuta, mayora chandrika joto, chura hoite nipatita hoi, ne chananchale sare kiba mantra sakti dare pitavasa kasya paroi. And listen to another wonderful thing. All the peacock feathers fall from his crown, and his yellow dhoti falls off. It is as if these arrows from her sidelong glances are carrying or holding some special mantra power, mantra shakti dare, natra anchala. Anchala means the border, the edge. Natra, the edge of her eyes. They have mantra shakti dare. Yahara katakshabane marama daraya tane stabda kore madana mohan. Saheno Sri Radhikaya Kobe Va Bajivahai Anuragi Nikunjo Kanane. So this is Madan Mohan. Alas, when can I lovingly worship that Sri Radhika who stuns Madan Mohan by striking his heart with her arrow-like glances in the forest bowers? Oh, that's the end of today's class. Jai Sri Radhe. Radha Rani Ki Jai.